Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Eleanor Morton here from All Rather Mysterious, here to tell you about the Weirdos Pantomime. Every year, alternative comedy collective Weirdos puts on a homemade pantomime to raise money for Great Ormond Street. We've got songs, award-winning comedians, and more cardboard props than you can shake a stick at. This year, join us as we try and save the local pub from closing in time for Christmas. With a cast including Adam Larter, Giles Norris, and Edinburgh Award nominee Lucy Pearman, and me. I play a spoon who is also a sailor, just to give you an idea of how silly it's going to get. So, join the Weirdos on the 9th and 10th of December at the Bloomsbury Theatre in London in aid of Great Ormond Street.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
You talked over that.
Who did?
She did.
Oh, right, okay. Well, it wasn't me, was it?
Are you upset with me because I made a joke about the Penny Dreadfuls?
Did you?
I feel there's an air now.
No, not at all.
I've upset you.
I just enjoy the comedy of conflict.
I'm going to leave all this in.
Okay.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious. We've all fallen out with each other. The podcast that aims to unlock mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is Rain Man.
Oh, you're keeping them?
I'm keeping them.
From last week?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Mr. Bloody Reed.
I'm...
E-Dog.
E-Dog.
Oh, are you trying to think of another one?
Yeah. Didn't work.
I am Sheba, God of the Universe.
Let's go with that.
Let's go with that. And join us as we unlock mysteries that have baffled the world and puzzled the minds of the very best. Today we bring you closure and controversy.
Oh.
Eleanor is bringing us controversy, and I'd like to say any correspondence or complaints should be addressed directly to edog@hotmail.com.
Whoever that is.
Whoever that is. Nothing to do with me. Eleanor, I believe you have a mystery for us.
I do, and it is... It is, as promised, not the Christmas special, but we are doing the death of Jill Dando. I wasn't going to do this, right? But then I watched this documentary because it's 20 years.
20 years.
So I was 7 when it happened.
I was not.
I was 22.
I was 17.
Fucking hell.
Hey, we span 3 generations.
Yes.
We do. And Eleanor's drawn a beautiful picture of
a picture of Jill Dando.
The Duchess of the People.
Are those tears that are stained on that?
I got very emotional. I watched this documentary. It wasn't a very good documentary.
No,
actually.
It wasn't. No.
It didn't offer anything, but it did make me think, what the hell happened? Let us talk about the death of Jill Dando.
All right, can we have the facts?
Let's have the facts.
I'm only interested in facts. I'm on a all-fat diet at the moment.
Brand facts.
High truth diet.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's born... I didn't actually put down when she was born. But
She was, though. Fact.
She was born about 38 years before 1999.
Okay.
So,
1961?
I guess it was.
Fast maths.
Yeah, I can't do it. And she came from a family of journalists. So
Of Dandos.
Of Dandos. So everyone in her family was sort of into journalism and that sort of thing. But she was a TV journalist and presenter more than an investigative journalist. And by 1999, she was a big name throughout the country. She was a household name. She was presenting several shows. She was on TV about 3 times a day at one point. She was in a holiday programme, just called Holiday, I think, the 6 o'clock news and Crime Watch. So a lot of people knew her, and she was a beloved figure. She did lots of photo shoots and interviews.
Didn't she also do like an antiques program as well?
Yes, almost certainly.
Yeah, she was on telly a lot.
She was on. Do you guys? How much do you guys remember of Jill before?
A lot. I remember her being everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere, Jill. Jill everywhere. They called her.
I called her the Duchess.
Do you?
Yeah, I did.
She definitely had a Princess Diana aura to her.
She did.
Or certainly the people were willing it to happen.
Yes, certainly she had the same haircut.
Yes.
She did that.
It was a very 90s woman haircut.
She didn't have the Aniston.
No, she did not have the...
that was the other 90s sort of haircut.
Long curtains.
Yeah.
If I went into a barber's in 1999, not before this happened, right. And said,
can I have the dando?
Give me the dando, do you think they would have known what I was on about?
I think they would have said, that's a woman's haircut.
And I would have gone... Is my money not good in this bloody barber's?
It's a unisex hairdresser's.
Give me the dando!
In 1997, she was BBC Personality of the Year.
Wow.
So she was big...
Stiff competition in 97, yes. Was it?
Who would it have been? Jim Davison?
Oh, God. Some really great people.
Was Big Break still going on in 97?
Well, didn't he take over the Generation Game?
Oh, you're right.
Was Jim Davison on TV?
Yeah, a lot.
I only know him as disgraced... man, Jim Davis.
Essentially a racist in a cupboard.
Yeah, I didn't assume he was ever let on
TV.
He was on.
He was on Big Break with John Virgo.
He had two successful sitcoms before that.
Sitcoms.
The Elephant Around the Castle, and then Home James.
This is so depressing.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Where he was the same character playing, and then he had Big Break, which ironically was his
Big Break
comeback.
It was his comeback. You're right.
And then he took over the Generation Game from Bruce Forsyth.
From Brucey. But this was back at a time when you could get your TV personalities from two places. They were either the working men's clubs or from Oxbridge.
Right. Mm.
And so Les Dennis was a star back then. And
Les Dawson.
Les Dawson and all of these.
I imagine Cannon and Ball.
Cannon and Ball.
They would have hated
Little
mixing with
and
each
large.
Other.
Yeah.
Hmm?
I imagine they hated mixing with each other.
I was just going to say, never the twain did meet.
No.
Until now, when the alternative comics get the old working men's comics to play their dads in sitcoms.
Yes.
Also, the alternative comics were mixing with universities and things. Like Fry and Laurie would do a sketch with Rick and Aid.
That's right.
In Saturday Live and things like that. Mm. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that.
Sorry.
Well, I would say, and this sounds sort of rude, but in many ways, she was unremarkable. By which I mean, she was a lovely lady with a great career, who was just popular, lovely, no scandals, nothing particularly interesting, just a nice lady.
That's Miley in class. E-dog at hotmail.com.
Miley in class.
The Miley in class of
her
day. Without the concert level pianist
She's
thing.
Not like
Is she not?
What about Alex Jones, who does the one show?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, the
again,
Alex Jones.
Alex
in
Jones.
The day.
Or who's the woman who has to sit next to Piers Morgan?
Susanna Reid.
Susanna Reid.
Yeah.
If I went in and said, give me the Reid to a barber's, they would go, well, that's your hair, isn't it?
They think you meant Mike Reid.
Reid with an I.
They'd say, which one, the DJ or the dead comedian?
We'll give you a dead man's hair, if you like.
But we've got
and
it.
You have to go, yeah.
All lined up. Right. So that's the background. On the morning of 26th of April, 1999.
What's the year?
1999.
The time is 1999. The year is 26th of April, and the date is the morning. Dando actually was, she was staying with her fiancé in Chiswick. She owned a house in Fulham.
Lucan.
Fuck off. She owned a house in Fulham, but she didn't actually live there at the time because she was trying to sell it. So she would occasionally pop back and check on it or do some stuff to it. But she didn't really stay there. She was mostly in Chiswick. So she went out. She did some shopping, and then she went to the house in Fulham at 11:32. And you know, it's a really interesting fact I've found out. Do you guys know Bethany Black, the comedian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bethany Black, one of the things that Jill Dander did that morning was go and get some holiday photos developed. Bethany Black was
Snappy Snaps.
The developer.
Yes, she's told me that.
Yes.
That's a gig we did together recently. Absolutely mad, yeah.
When I heard that, I was like,
what were the photos of?
The mysterious murderer. No, just some nice holiday, probably.
Never got to
see
them.
Maybe she'll never tell us because she knows too much.
Perhaps this will develop later. Let's not focus on
a poorly sheep.
Let's not focus on the negative though.
Right. She returns home to the house in Fulham at 11:32. As she stood on the doorstep, she was shot once in the head. The way she was shot was it appeared that she'd been shot at point blank range in the back of the head, held down on the doorstep. 14 minutes later, a neighbour found her and the police were called. The neighbour, Richard Hughes, had heard Dando sort of cry out like someone greeting a friend, but he didn't hear anything else. He didn't hear a gunshot or any scuffle. He just sort of heard her say, you know, something, but it didn't sound as though she was in trouble. It just sounded like she was going, oh.
And he took 14 minutes to decide he will go and investigate.
Apparently. She was taken to Charing Cross Hospital, where she died at 1:03 p.m.
Hang on, so she was still alive all that time?
Wait, what?
She was shot in the head and then lived for another 2 hours?
Yeah, it looks like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that can happen. It depends where they shoot
you. Well, clearly.
And Richard Hughes, the neighbour, is the only person to have seen or heard anything. Looking out of his window, he saw that he has the only description of the killer. 6 foot, white male, about 40, wearing dark clothes. That's all they know.
Dark clothes. Dead
which
giveaway.
Which makes sense, doesn't it? So
April, be quite hot. What are you wearing dark clothes for?
Not if you're a mystery murderer.
Mystery murderer.
That's what you have to wear.
You can see the shape of a gun in a holster under a Hawaiian shirt is the problem.
What about Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction, but those are their replacement clothes they get blood all over themselves. So they've already got rid of all their weaponry.
So they have, yeah, I know, right. Aftermath. Huge media attention. Also likened to Princess Diana's death. The nation mourns.
Yes.
All very tragic. Pretty much, as I've said, completely beloved character. Not someone with any... Not controversial at all, so everyone's just sad. Huge police inquiry. Ultimately, no steady or good leads, which leads us to the arrest of a local man named Barry George, who is one of John's favourites, I believe.
I like Barry George.
Why do you like him?
Because
he shot a woman in the head.
No. He's a fantasist.
Oh, right.
Yes.
He claimed that he changed his name to Busola.
Which is Balsara?
Balsara, sorry. Which is Freddie Mercury's real surname.
Ah.
And he claimed for years that he was Freddie Mercury's cousin.
George Balsara.
Bill Balsara.
Barry Balsara.
He also told loads of other people that he used to be in the SAS.
Yep.
Lots of people say that, though.
Yeah, but he was a complete fantasist. And it's one of those occasions that... I find it interesting because it's one of those occasions that if you lie a lot, sometimes it can get you into massive trouble.
Yeah, don't do it, guys. Don't
because
pretend to
some
be...
of the things he said and did...
Yep.
Caused the police to be very interested in him.
So do you think he did it, or do you think he's just a fantasist who is very uncredible?
Here's what the police found out. So he's a local man. He lives about half a mile away from Jill Dando. He has a history of sexual offences, stalking and attention-seeking behaviour. So he's not a great guy.
No. He's not a great guy for a famous person to live near.
No.
He
also had... he also owned a gun, and he had pictures of her in his house.
That he'd shot at a lot.
Yes.
He owned a gun.
Chiswick. Well, I know. This is the scary thing. Fulham, actually.
Fulham.
The boyfriend's in Chiswick.
Sorry.
She goes home to Fulham. This is the thing, isn't it? Because in America, everyone's got a gun. Here, if you've got a gun, you're like...
How do you own a gun? Like, if it's not a hunting gun, how do you own a gun in this country?
I suspect it wasn't a working gun, though, found.
This is after... Dunblane, so there was stricter rules, so maybe he'd bought it before then, but I believe it wasn't super difficult to get hold of one if you really wanted one. I think maybe he was part of something like a hunting thing or the SAS.
He'd also posed for loads of self-portraits of him pointing the gun at the camera and looking like he was in the SAS.
Such a cool guy.
But yeah. I don't believe you can own a handgun in this country legally without it being part of your job. You can own hunting weaponry.
No, but people can get handguns, can't they?
Yeah, they can get them.
And he did. And the police thought that was suspicious.
It's pretty suspicious. Mm. Was it the gun that killed Jill Dando?
The gun that killed her... So they found the bullet casing, and what they found was that the bullet had a mark on it, I think this is right, which suggested that the gun had been... altered.
Tampered with,
yes.
Right.
So whoever owned the gun that shot her had been changed in a certain way. Something had been done to it that changed the gun in a certain way. I can't remember if they ever said that gun matched up with the gun he had, but I don't think it did.
Seems important information.
Yep. What really cinched it, and it shouldn't have done, was that one particle of gunshot residue was found in a coat pocket of his.
Wow.
So given that he owned a gun, having one particle... of gunshot
presumably
residue.
He shot his gun at some point.
I think so. Also, He didn't just have photos of Jill Dando. He had photos of loads of women. Because guess what? He was a bit of a creep.
Right.
So it wasn't just photos of Jill everywhere. It was photos of loads of ladies. And on top of this, time frames. He had an alibi for about 20 minutes later. But the clothes that Richard Hughes saw the man in wasn't what he was wearing in his alibi. So he would have had to have gone home and changed, which he simply didn't have time to do.
Right.
But because he was a bit of a local creep and a bit of a sort of weird stalker, he was arrested and convicted and sentenced and served 7 years in prison before being acquitted because there wasn't enough evidence. And to this day, no other official suspects have been put forward.
He was a scapegoat everyone stopped caring about it.
Yep.
The documentary you mentioned is they present all this evidence and at the end they basically go, and we still have no idea.
Yeah, it's very underwhelming.
Really underwhelming.
Right. Well, let's fix it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what else do we know? It wasn't that bloke. He was a horrible creep, but he didn't.
Yes. You know. So here are my theories. So the first one is popular, is that it was a stalker / crazy fan. Now, I would say not, because for two reasons. First of all, Dando hadn't... I think she'd mentioned in passing that a guy had been a bit weird, but stalking tends to escalate. So if it does end in murder, she would have had a lot more evidence of someone there. Also, the execution-style killing doesn't fit how stalkers tend to kill victims.
No.
They tend to do a sort of frenzy thing because they've got a bit mad, and then they sort of tend to just stand there going, oh, I know, what have I done?
Do we know what happened with John Lennon? Because that's the most similar story.
He did exactly that. This guy was convinced that John Lennon needed to die.
Yes.
He goes up to him outside his hotel, he shoots at him, and then he just sort of stands there. He doesn't even try to escape.
Right.
And he certainly doesn't shoot him with any skill.
So it's not the same MO at all, actually.
Also, Lennon's killer's case, he bought ammunition that would cause the most damage, the frenzy thing again.
Yes, it's all very, and a lot of other, there's been a couple of other cases of famous people being killed, and it's all very, there's a lot of ramp up, and as there was with Lennon, he did a lot of hanging around outside before that happened.
Because he got Lennon to sign his album.
That's right.
And waited until he came back hours and hours later.
Yeah.
So this sounds more... dare I say it, professional.
Yes, yeah. Which brings us on... Well, first of all, quickly rule out jealous lover or family member because there was no evidence that anyone had any reason to hate Dando.
And who shoots someone in the head on their doorstep in this country? No one.
Yeah, exactly. I think in this country, if you were upset,
you push them off a cliff.
Yeah,
don't
or you'd send them a passive-aggressive letter, you know, just something like that. Subtweet
you
them.
You tell all your friends they've gone camping. So nobody goes looking for
a week. We tend to be a nation of chopping people up and putting them in a freezer, don't
we? That's right, we are.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we proud of it, you know?
I mean, I can't really think of any other...
Up yours, Delors.
Any other British killing like this?
No.
No.
No, it's very international, isn't it?
It is, which is why a lot of people think it may have been a professional Serbian assassin. And the reason is... This is obviously during the Balkans conflict. People posit that it was a retaliation because a few weeks or days or months before, NATO had bombed a Serbian news station and killed the Serbian equivalent of Jill Dando in this.
The Serbian equivalent. Now that's a reach. So does every journalist and presenter have a Serbian equivalent at all times?
Yes, you do actually.
Do I?
Yes, yeah. You just need to find him.
God, they need to really pull their socks up and do better
in
their
career. Go to Belgrade and you'll bump into them.
I bet they don't call themselves Sharky, though.
No, they don't. Well, neither do I.
What's their equivalent of the Penny Dreadfuls?
Yeah, what's their podcast like, though? What's Serbian Dave Reed's podcast?
It's called Not Very Mysterious.
Not Very Mysterious. We know all the secrets.
We cannot say anything. See you next week.
So, and also, I couldn't find who said this, but apparently... Either someone at the BBC or someone at a news station had a phone call from someone who said, claimed to be a Serbian and was like, you kill our Jill Dando, we will kill your Jill Dando.
Right, okay, well that's pretty damning.
That's pretty damning, isn't it? But there was no solid evidence for this. This is sort of like a, oh yeah, I got a phone call saying that, which doesn't seem particularly...
Right.
But Serbian assassins have been known to kill people this way. However, the reason... why it doesn't seem to be a Serbian assassin or an assassin is because of the way the gun had been altered. was basically, gun experts said that the way the gun had been altered is a way that no professional assassin would ever alter a gun. So it was making it made the gun less efficient instead of more efficient.
Could it have made it quieter? Because that, the neighbour did not hear a gunshot.
That's a very good point, but...
Because at point blank, you wouldn't need a full velocity round.
That's true. I don't know. Mm. All I know is that gun experts said that, no, basically it was sort of like a bad way to do something to a gun, and a professional would just, that's like...
Like they dropped it.
It's like gun 101. Yeah. It's like you wouldn't do that if you knew anything about killing people.
Okay.
And also the Serbians never did claim responsibility publicly.
And were they big into that in the in 1999?
I think, I don't know. It's like terrorist groups do tend to claim responsibility, though, don't they? Because the whole thing is about...
Although saying that, the last Eastern European assassination, the big one,
which one
Georgi Markov.
Oh, yeah.
Which no one ever claimed responsibility for.
Yes.
But is heavily believed to be a sort of KGB hit.
Yes.
Mm.
So maybe it's...
Well, the KGB don't claim responsibility, or is they just lean back in a big chair and laugh?
No, that's true.
They're not
a
terrorist group, but...
Well, maybe these aren't a terrorist group.
Well...
The Russians did it.
So, but I'm not convinced by this because I am like, I get... It sort of makes sense of the NATO bombing and things, but it sort of still seems weird.
The link between Serbia and Jill Dando is very tenuous.
Also, The interesting thing is that because she didn't really live there, it would have to be someone who knew that she was going to be home at that point.
Been trailing her for some weeks.
Yes, and knew her movements and just knew she would be at home on that day, which she wasn't normally.
Mm.
So we then move on to everyone's favourite conspiracy theory, which is a BBC paedophile ring.
Yay! It's taken us so long to get to one of these.
It's nice that we get there eventually.
Yeah.
So supposedly, according to various certain sources or theories, Dando had a dossier on a sex ring at the BBC that she was going to take to the top. But I would counter that by saying, first of all, she wasn't an investigative journalist. No. She was basically a presenter.
I read or saw, I forget, that she was working on a programme about this at the time. It wasn't just that she had some info. She was actually, a programme was been commissioned and was in development.
Yes, but I think... I don't think that's true because the BBC have denied there was any anything to do with that.
Okay.
There's no proof of that. She also didn't mention to anyone, oh, I'm just working on got a secret dossier. I can't tell you what's in it, but it's going to be big.
Yeah.
Also, final point on the paedophile ring. Didn't everyone know that the BBC was full of pedos? So, I mean...
Well, but there's knowing that it probably is and having evidence to do something about it.
That's true.
Because you don't just go, you're all nonces. Problem solved. You can't really do that.
Also, I think people who worked on the BBC knew, but the Joe Public didn't know.
Right.
No, Joe Public didn't know, but, you know, who was she taking this evidence to who would have done anything about it?
Gary Lineker.
Gary Lineker.
Yes. If only she'd known.
The nation's other sweetheart.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont. I do Crime Club. In Series 1, I spoke to people like this.
Did you not kick a policeman in the head?
Yeah, that was... When was that? I was 17. Wait, was I 17 or 19? I think it might have been 19, actually.
In Series 2, I talked to people like this.
There was a paedophile with one leg. I kicked him clean out of his wheelchair. About four of us... I mean, we battered him.
And this.
Cheated on your boyfriend to give him gonorrhea? Do you want to go there, or would you rather not?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it.
I have jingles like this. That's Crime Club, where strange people tell stories involving bad behaviour. New episodes out every Monday.
Great Big Owl.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But I don't buy that because I think
you're covering for them.
Yes.
You own property in Dolphin Square.
I pulled my mask off and it was Jimmy Savile.
You do occasionally work at the BBC, so you are complicit.
I've met Savile.
Have you? What was that like?
Well, it was, well, I was the gold general public. I was a child.
Oh, God.
And my brother was a slightly older child, and we were celebrating his birthday in Scarborough, where my gran lived, where Savile also had a caravan, I believe.
Oh, God.
And they started playing Happy Birthday for my brother and brought out like a muffin with a sparkler in it. And Savile was attracted to this merriment and came over and introduced himself and bought my brother a better cake.
Oh, God.
And then walked away. He was wearing his white tracksuit.
Of course he was.
You know.
Was this Italian. In Giacinelli's?
It's an Italian restaurant in Scarborough.
Yeah,
I think.
I think Giacinelli was the mayor of Scarborough who was involved in
Savile's. Wow, we went there all business. The time. Yeah. Went there quite a lot. And my friend Andrew, after shaking Jimmy Savile's hand, he turned to me and said, I'm never going to wash this hand again. And I like to think Savile would have liked that.
And, left him like
and
that.
Nowadays, he does nothing but washes hands.
That's it, he just washes it endlessly.
Still smells of boys.
No one suspected outside of the BBC, not really. Only people who worked in the industry, I think. Mm-hmm. We thought eccentrics were just fun.
Mm.
Turns out they were all sexual predators.
Turns out now, looking at them, you're like, how could they not have been?
Right.
Prejudice. I don't think. First of all, I don't think she was doing that because she never mentioned to anyone. She didn't even say, "I've got some secret info and I can't tell you, but it's going to be big. It's going to come out." Never mentioned anything like that. Secondly, not an investigative journalist.
Yeah.
Thirdly, if she went to her bosses with that, they'd go, "Look, Jill, we know about this. So look, here's some money, and we'll just."
Yeah.
Because he's big property. I don't know.
What's done is done. We can't do anything about it now.
So that's all the different theories. None of them, all of them sort of are possible.
She's not the person to silence.
This is what I'm saying. This is also, is there any evidence of them ever trying to shoot anyone else in the head for knowing?
Well, maybe they were trying to get to someone even bigger who did have evidence on them and you know. If it was a sort of standoff of, you know, you'll never do anything to me. I'm high profile, and they shoot somebody else high profile, utterly unrelated, to send a message.
That's true. So some points to consider.
Okay.
Whoever did it had to know Dando's movements that day.
Yes.
No guarantee she was going to be at home, so that's something to consider. Secondly, why was she shot assassin style? Also another theory that again doesn't really hold a lot of water, that a crime watch viewer held a grudge, so someone who was involved in crime had been called. But again, why would you kill her and not the producer?
Hmm.
Well, because
or the other guy.
Because
who
if
did
you're
crime
not
watch.
Very bright,
also true.
You don't really know producers exist.
Yes.
I mean, my wife has had several conversations with her own grandmother trying to explain that what her job is as a writer, and her gran can't grasp that EastEnders has writers
oh
on
my
it.
God.
She's like, you know the words they say, yes.
Yep.
She's like, well, you know someone else has to write that. What?
It's a documentary.
So people who watch TV are not all, they're not as others.
No, that is very true. Especially the ones who are involved in petty...
Ones willing to shoot people on the doorstep as well.
Clearly.
Yeah. So I buy the crime watch angle now.
Okay.
That's the most...
Interesting.
The revenge angle.
Yes.
Well, I've always long suspected
yes.
that it was extraterrestrials.
Course.
Yeah.
Now
they were trying to harvest her brain.
They were trying to kill Diana, but they arrived arrived years late. And,
like at the Petit Trianon, they thought she was
Bobby Davro.
Did.
That actually happened in real life, not that he was killed, but I was working in an office and it was an open plan office and we had a lady who answered the phone to the general public while we did admin.
Yeah.
And I remember her putting down the phone and saying, "Bobby Davro has been shot."
Wow.
And everyone's like, oh, and then it turned out it was Jill Dando, not Bobby Davro.
They sound similar.
Yeah, yeah.
I just found out the other day my siblings don't remember 9/11, and so my mind is blown.
Wow. Were they abducted at the time by
Hang on,
aliens?
Just very young.
How old are your siblings?
25 and 23.
I'm so trying to do the maths.
So they would have been like
six or seven.
Nine.
Yeah.
Nine.
So, but still.
That's quite a significant thing to forget, though.
I know. Well, I remember. I was nine. Actually, no, there would have been. Anyway, the point is.
You've just reminded me where I was when I.
Where
heard
were
the
you?
I was
were
in,
you in.
I was in
school.
A cool little cafe called Victor J's in
Ooh,
the
Victor
corner
J.
of Parliament Street in York, and we had to go and watch it on TV screens in the window of Dixon's. It's that long ago, pre-smartphone.
I was in class and our janitor came in and told our teacher, and I only remembered it because he never came in and talked to anyone. So I was like...
I was working in an office in Watford and only one bloke in the whole office had access to the internet. He was like a trustee.
Whoa.
And we all went round his desk and watched it.
Wow.
I think he was on CNN's website or something like that.
Yeah.
Because we were able to like watch it all unfold. And we saw the second plane going. Well, at the time, we just thought it was an accident, you know, like a plane crash.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Scary stuff. Anywho, another great moment from the late 90s, early 2000s.
You said great.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like you to go and tell the families victims.
Do you want
to
hear? Genuinely baffling, this one.
Isn't it?
I'm finding it difficult to find closure on this.
Mm. Okay, well, you want to know my theory?
Yes, I do.
I think she went and get her photos developed, but she was really rude and just a bit of a dick about it. And then Bethany Black
was like, furious.
I'm not putting up with this.
That's edog@hotmail.com if you wish to complain.
I don't really think it was you, Bethany.
Does Bethany own a gun? Are we following this through?
No, we can ask her on Twitter.
Okay.
I think it's a professional hit.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about
it. It certainly looks like one.
Yes.
Or someone who... The reason why the Barry George thing ticks so many boxes is that he thinks, or thought, I'm coughing now, he thought he was a hitman, if you know what I mean. He'd think, I am a hitman, this is how I would kill someone.
Right. But still have a gun that he dropped, so the bullet was slightly dented.
And also, you mentioned his alibi.
Yeah.
The reason the police were so convinced it was him is because his alibi was so OTT.
He went into
a minicab office and made a big fuss about something. And they were thinking, why would you do that unless you were trying to establish?
Yes.
Well, I haven't checked because I don't think I can. But I feel like the neighbour said he was about 6 foot tall, and I don't think Barry George was 6 foot tall.
It was Richard Osman. Well, it explains why he's on telly so much. He's took her job.
Yeah, That's right.
That's the reason.
Career grab. The
holiday
programme. Edit that out as well.
Because every time I think it's an assassin, I think, well, the gun experts have said an assassin wouldn't have a gun like that because unless he was a terrible assassin.
It's why it sounds to me like a wannabe. Someone who's playing at assassin, but is actually a deluded idiot who sits in their own poo at home.
In which case, you know, Barry George has at least done 7 years for it if it was him.
I think it's somebody like Barry George, which is why he went down for it.
Yeah.
But it's an as-yet unknown lunatic.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's also good. I just feel like lunatics tend to be quite bad at hiding.
Well, it's clearly someone who's been stalking her to a certain extent to know that she was coming back to her house at that point.
Yeah.
And she hadn't really... She'd briefly mentioned, there's a guy being a bit weird, but no specifics, so it wasn't... No one really knew enough about... She was being stalked.
I think it's organised crime sending a message to Crime Watch to stay away from their low-level hoodlums.
Yes.
There was a joke at the time, which was, what goes in, out.
Right.
Oh, God.
Nick Owens asks when he answers the door.
Wow.
Is it Nick Owen?
You mean the Crime Watch?
Yeah, what was his name?
I don't know.
I'll get it now.
I only remember...
He was the one who used to say, don't have nightmares, even though I used to always have nightmares when I watched Crime Watch.
Right. Well, I always thought it was a weird thing to say, because it was like, I am now.
Yeah.
Now you've mentioned it.
Because it's horrible.
Don't drink bleach.
And remember, there's nobody behind you right now.
What? And remember, if I appear in your house, that's fine.
That Savile should have said that.
Please don't have door locks.
I think it's weird that she was on the holiday program and Crime Watch, because as a real, like, as a, you know, you associate presenters with their shows, so you're having a real yo-yo of emotions when you see the holiday lady.
I think, talking about murder. I think it's part of the British culture that we're always very, very willing and wanting someone to have a monopoly on our television.
That's true. Yeah, we want someone to be everywhere, and she was
also the women's magazine culture of horrendous bereavement and smiling women in bikinis.
Oh yeah, like that. That's life.
My dad
haunts
my cupboard. My murdered dad still haunts my dreams in my cupboard.
Yes,
in That's Life magazine.
I aborted my mum at 20,000 feet. What?
Yeah, I mean, I pushed her out the door.
I mean, I say aborted. Yeah, I'm just being a bit fanciful.
My dad got me pregnant and still won't talk to the twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's smiling in the picture.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's. There's a whole. It's lots of elements here, which is good.
My gut says, revenge for a crime watch story by an unhinged person who has delusions of organized crime, but isn't actually really associated with it.
Unhinged, but hinged enough to have gotten like not gone away with it.
Right.
Which I still think takes a bit of doing.
My friends, let me take you back to London. The East End, 1888.
Ooh.
A man walks the streets who goes by the name, the moniker given to him of Jack the Ripper.
Yes.
This fits all the classic hallmarks of a Ripper killing.
It was Ripper killing.
The gun to the head, the bullet in the brain.
He's really gone up market to go to Fulham, though.
He's had 111 years to change his MO completely.
Guys, I've just had one of those epiphany moments.
Oh, yeah.
Blow the case wide open.
Yeah,
we're looking in the wrong place. It's not a revenge killing for something she said on Crime Watch. It's a revenge killing for something she said on Holiday.
Which is
why we've never found them, because they just went back home abroad.
Do you think
again.
She gave Marbella a so-so review?
She scowled at somebody's restaurant on the beachfront in Marbella, and they came all the way back to Britain in order to give her a piece of their mind.
It's one of those people you meet on holiday and they say, you must come and stay with us.
Yeah.
But they actually take you up on it.
But then they
follow you all the way home.
Follow you all the way home.
And when she's
you.
Like, oh, you can't stay, they shot in the head.
I think it's a holiday program revenge
there you
killing.
Go.
I think it's Jack the Ripper.
I am going to say, I don't know. It doesn't know. It makes sense. I'll go with the holiday thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm so sorry.
It could also have been Jack the Ripper.
We got there in the end.
Jack the Ripper on holiday.
I think if the documentary we watched had ended in like that, it'd have been much more satisfying.
It would have been, because that was a very anticlimactic.
A Victorian doctor in a top hat, an enormous overcoat on a beach, on a sun recliner.
Still with dry ice circling around him.
Cocktail in his hand.
Yeah. All that documentary did was remind her relatives how sad they are.
And that poor policeman who's still haunted by the fact he's never been able to crack
it
the case. He's clearly having some sort of breakdown about it.
Right.
Well, there can be no doubt that we've solved that case. Next time you hear about the case of the tragic death of Jill Dando, just remember that it's Eleanor who has dredged this all up.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Please
and,
don't kill me.
Ruined lives.
I'm nothing. I'm no one.
Until next time, my name is Rain Man.
I'm Mr. David Reed.
I'm nobody. Don't contact me.
Should we stop with the appealing to the young then?
Yeah, I would like to alienate the young.
All right,
if we can.
All right. Well, you can find David on Twitter as at Mr. David Reed. Eleanor is at Eleanor Morton. The podcast is at All Rather Pod, but you probably know that already. And I am at Mr. Ken Shabby. Until next week, when we'll bring you a case that'll be slightly more palatable and less controversial. Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh God.
Hello, my darlings. It's me, Anna Mann, actress, singer, welder. Gotta have a backup. I've been in everything, my darlings, and I've been cut from most things. However, I will not be cut from one thing, and that is my own podcast, Talking to Actors with Anna Mann, where I meet those rarest of creatures, the actors. That's Talking to Actors. Look out for the new series starting soon.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.